The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Hello and welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Kay Murray, joined in the studio by Stevie Nicol. Along for the ride with us, we'll have Frank LeBeouf, Shaka Hislop and Don Hutchison as well. We have a lot to get through. We must start with the big game in the Premier League today. It was Liverpool against Chelsea. Liverpool losing 1-0. They've now lost five straight home league games for the first time in club history. Stevie Nicol, how has it come to this?
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's been a bit of a slippery slope. I remember sitting here, 13 games ago, Liverpool sat at the top of the Premier League. They had West Brom coming up. They had Newcastle coming up. They had Burnley coming up. And we're talking about who's going to stop Liverpool retaining this title. 13 games later, they look like they've forgotten how to play. A front three that was destroying any defence that was put in front of them can't seem to hardly get a shot on goal. I mean, one shot on goal today at home tells you the problems Liverpool have going forward. And of course, we can say it's unlucky so many times defensively, but when you've got, in this game today, two defenders with experience of Alexander-Arnold and Fabinho causing the goal, then you can't excuse that. So, listen, a team that 13 games ago was striding towards the title has gotten to the stage where this is not a surprise. This is actually, when the final whistle went today, I wasn't surprised. Because this team is playing like a team that's struggling. It's getting results like a team that's struggling. And guess what? They're struggling and it's going to continue. I don't see an end to it.
Don, given the problems that they have in defence, should Klopp be using a more pragmatic approach?
Not really. I agree with Stevie K. I mean, I was exactly the same when they had West Brom and Newcastle. I thought after the 7-0 win against Crystal Palace, I thought it was moving weeks for Liverpool. I thought they'd stride clear. We can't keep blaming injuries at the back, because defensively it's never really been a problem. No one's really walloped Liverpool apart from Man City. It's offensively where you start to look now at Liverpool and you think they are shot shy at the top end of the pitch. There's no confidence whatsoever. Mo Salah got dragged off tonight. Jota's had to be rushed back. Fabinho had to be rushed back. Sadio Mane doesn't look the same player. Firmino doesn't really score. He contributes in what he does in terms of his link-up play, but all of that's just not enough at the moment. And Liverpool, and I think you heard it in Jurgen Klopp and his press conference afterwards, he looked absolutely shattered. He looked deflated. And I think Jurgen Klopp, the players, the fans, I think they just want the season over because it's turning into a disaster.
How much have they got into their own heads with everything that's going on then, Stevie?
Well, I think there's no question. I don't care how good a football player you are. Confidence can rock anybody. And this whole side looks as though it's rocked. And you listen to Jurgen Klopp afterwards, you talk about talking too much, as if you're covering something. I mean, just keep your mouth closed. It is what it is. Stick to the basics and get out, and don't start inventing things. So if he's talking to the press like that, he's probably over-talking to his players as well. I mean, you're talking about a huge confidence in crisis, and just a complete and utter loss of form right the way through the side. This is not the front's fault or the middle's fault only, or it's only the back's fault. This side is in free fall. And as I said before, I'm not so sure when it's going to stop.
Frank, can you see them getting out of this funk this season?
I think it's going to be hard. I mean, we can see now that they try to do stuff. And I think the two big differences between the two teams today is one team has a real defense, when another one has nothing. It's nothing because the main defenders are injured, and you try to cope with the situation with somebody who came during the winter time, and midfield players played as a center back. So you cope with the situation the way you can. But how can you sort out all the problems when the problems are mainly everywhere and where everybody is touched by a lack of confidence. So it's going to be really difficult. And as Stevie says, I think everybody just want the season to be over and see what's going to happen maybe next season. That's it.
Do you think that's the way it is, Shaka, that they'd rather this season just be done and dusted and start afresh next season?
Without question, Liverpool want the end of the season, whatever the end of the season looks like, whether it's top four or not, in all honesty. And you understand that. You sympathise with that, given the injuries that they've had, how they've tried to cope, how it's not worked. Listen, on the one hand, you asked Don about a more pragmatic approach. I think that's needed from Liverpool. You can't play this high defensive line with Kabak, who's just come in, and Fabinho, first game back, not really a defender. And then you get exposed, as you do, Timo Werner finding the back of the net just about offside. And then the Mason Mount goal, that was a decider. You have to change how you play. But Jurgen Klopp doesn't want to do that. If that's the case, fine. This is who we are. We're going to live or die by this very sword. But you play that high-risk, high-reward game, you either finish top of the table or you finish comfortably outside the top four. And that's what you're seeing over the last two seasons.
Well, you mentioned that top four. If you take a look at the standings, you can see that Liverpool are sliding down that table. And that's the question now, Stevie, with everything that we've seen from them so far. And as you mentioned, it seems to be something of a free fall. Will they actually make the top four come the end of the campaign?
Really? Why? I can't believe it. It's amazing when you sit and think of the free fall they're in, how bad they've been. But when you actually look at that table, boy, that hits you right between the eyes. I can't believe what I'm looking at. And I can't think of a reason why they get in the top four. As I said, we can lament about the injuries, but the truth is, a front three that can muster one shot at goal, there's a problem, and you have to change it. You just can't keep doing what they're doing and getting nowhere. That only lasts so long, and it's old now.
Don, are you as pessimistic as Stevie is about this?
I am, Kay, because it's the hope that kills you. And no one's really, charging towards the top four. All the teams at the top, like Leicester, like United, they're all dropping points. So even though Liverpool are in horrendous form, it's the hope that kills you because they're only in touching distance from the top four. I think they're 4 points off it. But, I was chatting to Michael Owen before the game and Tim Sherwood, who was working on the Premier League tonight, and everyone was getting asked their opinion. Who do you think will win the game? And we were sort of edging towards Liverpool, and then we sort of stopped ourselves in our track and we were thinking, why are we back in Liverpool? We're back in Liverpool because of the size of the football club only. We're not really looking at how they're actually performing and how they're doing and how goal-shy they are and how out of confidence they are. So it's the size of the football club. And I think the fact that, as I said before, they're in touch and distance of four, but performances-wise, they look a mile off the top four.
One man who's definitely not short of confidence right now, Frank, is Mason Mount. His goal, the difference in this one. He was a favourite under Lampard. He's looking to be a favourite under Tuchel as well. What a goal from him.
It is absolutely fantastic. I mean, he's still a young lad. We shouldn't forget that. But as you just mentioned, he went through two different coaches and he has been perfect. And he's a leader. He's some kind of player who makes a difference. Every players have been fantastic tonight. I mean, the three at the back, Azpilicueta, Christensen and Rüdiger, have been very, very strong. And in the middle of the park, they've done the job. But at front, even if you can say that Werner had a good game, that Ziyech is still struggling, if there is one who always gives his best and does very, very well, is Mason Mount. And what he did when he scored, playing with Fabinho, who is, of course, not fit enough maybe to play that game, it was absolutely fantastic. And how he found the corner and how he scored the goal, it shows, that he's already mature, that he feels everything, that he always made the right choice, made spot on, heart of my man, carry on like that because you have a great future, for sure.
Don, how important do you see Mount for Chelsea?
Yeah, he's a great player, Kay. He everyone was labelling him as sort of Frank's favourite boy. But once Frank went, he got his head down. He worked hard. He wasn't in the first Tuchel took a side. Then he forced his way back in. His performances, like Frank said, have been superb. I think what he is, Kay, as well, he's brave. He takes the ball. He's willing to try a hard pass. He's not a safe passer. I like guys who play in a sort of 10 role or closer to the number 9, who try a pass, who's risk and reward. He likes to try and find his nine and try and get assists. But his goal tonight was a fantastic strike. It could have been defended better. You know, you don't show him inside on his right foot. You've got to send him on his left foot. But once he got in on his right foot on the angle, it was a brilliant finish into that bottom right-hand corner.
And things going really well for Chelsea under Thomas Tuchel. Look at this, still unbeaten so far in the 10 games that we've seen from him. Right appointment at the right time for Don?
Yeah, I think so. Looking back, I thought, you know, at the time, I thought it was a little bit raw, okay? I thought it was harsh on Frank. I could see Chelsea still getting towards top four, but you look at the stats there and the ten games that he's played, it's the bottom number that's the most impressive. 8 clean sheets. You know, that is a lot of work on the training ground when you haven't got too much time to work in between games. So you can see the players for sure are buying into his methods.
Now we take a look back at the standings, and that result for Chelsea put them into the top four. Everton had provisionally taken that spot because they played earlier, but now it's Chelsea's. Will they be staying there, Shaka?
Right now, you think so. Listen, they are some in the chasing pack who have games in hand, so that obviously has the potential to change how the table looks, even if it's momentarily. But right now, I think Chelsea are destined for the top four. You mentioned undefeated under Thomas Tuchel. You when they do hit that speed bump, you want to see how the team reacts. But nothing about Chelsea right now says that they aren't in the top four teams in English football, that they can't cope with a defeat, surprise or not. This is a team playing with confidence. I think they finish this season top four right now, almost without question.
It seemed to be a Timo Werner playing with confidence in this match as well, Stevie.
Well, he is. He's not, you know, Frank was talking about Mason Mount being brave. Well, Werner's been brave as well. He's not hiding. He's putting himself out there. He got himself in some great positions. Yes, he might have been offside for the one that went in. I think he could have done better with the one where he tried to lob it over Alisson. Again, he may have been offside. And again, one-on-one with Alisson in the second half. But the fact that he's getting in those positions tells you that he's desperate to do well. And you have to think that eventually it's going to come good for him. But whilst you've got Mount around you, you don't need to worry.
And if Tuchel does manage to bring some of the pieces that maybe he wants to bring in the close season, how dangerous are Chelsea going to be in the next campaign?
Well, he's clearly got them sorted out defensively. And that's why they're flying up the table. One goal a game, pretty much, on average. If they can lift that somewhat, then there's no question, not only top four, but maybe next year they can start fighting for something a little bit higher up the table.
So things going right for Chelsea. But Don, when we do go back to Liverpool, what's the one thing that they would need right now? Maybe if they got a genie and they got one wish at this point.
Confidence. Confidence is the big thing, Kay. Honestly, it is. It's something that you can't measure. But you can see it in the performances. You can see it when they're in and around the box, that no one's willing to pull the trigger or try that final pass. When you're not confident and you've got the ball at your feet, you look at a red shirt and you play safe. And Liverpool have never, ever been that type of team. You can see it in Jurgen Klopp's, you know, body language when he's getting asked in interviews, what's the team missing? And he's scratching, he's searching, he's overthinking it, as Stevie said. The biggest thing in football is confidence. And when you've got it, you can conquer anything. When you haven't, you feel as though you are really struggling.
Don, you were commentating today the game between Fulham and Spurs. Furious Fulham in this, because this magic equaliser was actually ruled out for a Lamina handball. What did you make of this decision?
Oh, it's not a referee or a VAR problem. This is the law of the game. This is from IFAB. I mean, anyone that's played the game, watched the game, knows that's not a deliberate handball. Davinson Sanchez shanked his clearance off Lamina's hand. And his arm and his hand wasn't outside of his body. He wasn't trying to make himself bigger. His arms were tucked in, so it was accidental. It was blasted from a yard and a half away, so you got no time to try and react. And then Maggio scores, and Fulham in the second half were brilliant. But the decision is just not in the spirit of the game. It's not a deliberate handball. It shouldn't have been chalked off. But the referee on the night, David Coote, he'd done the right thing by the letter of the law, and VAR instructed him to disallow the goal, which is the law. It's the law that's the ass. It's just a ridiculous law. Anyone that knows the game and played the game knows, Kay, that goal should never, ever be disallowed.
Stevie, what did you make of the decision?
It's just wrong. It's completely wrong. And again, You know, the rules are not black and white. There is discretion for referees, and you like to think that in a time like this, the referee would use a little bit of discretion, a little bit of common sense, and understand that there's no way that's ever a handball and the goal should have been allowed.
Frank, do you agree with these two?
Yes, yes, definitely. And on top of it, we saw during that the game with Chelsea, Kante doing a handball and didn't get a penalty against him, which is one more obvious in that way because his hand was there, where for sure Lemina had his hand close to his body. So it makes no sense. It makes no sense because I don't understand the rule anymore. He touches the body, then he touches the handball, and it's not a handball. That okay, I can understand, you know. But the other thing, the two actions today on Fulham Tottenham and Liverpool Chelsea, I don't understand the rule. The referees has to tell us where they stand, and we can cope and understand the rule, because that's insane right now.
John, let's just go back to that game. Obviously, Tottenham coming away with all 3 points in this one. And all their best attackers on in this game, they were almost punished, though, for not getting that second goal, weren't they?
Yeah, it was a strange game. It was a great game to commentate on because Fulham come out the blocks really quickly and really sharp and had one or two chances. But you always had the impression Tottenham were just setting traps for Fulham. Once they started playing little balls into midfield and Tottenham played with the front four actually ahead of the ball, and Højbjerg and Ndombele as holding midfield players. And every time they won the ball back, Tottenham, they fed it into that front four and they were carving out chances first half for fun. And then second half kicked off and Fulham pinned them back in and Tottenham really, really struggled. Harry Kane, I think, only had 10 or 11 touches in the second half. He couldn't get anything to the ball. Jose respected what Fulham were doing to them. He took Dele Alli off and Gareth Bale off and put more defensive-minded players on like Sissoko and Lamella. And he was just trying to hang on and hold on. And the tide was going against Tottenham. And, you know, that goal should never have been chalked off. And Fulham actually, you know, could have actually won the game. They'd be disappointed if they didn't take a point out of the game. They could have actually won it. So for Fulham fans, coming away with no points whatsoever was a scandal for them. But Tottenham fans will be thankful for that ridiculous law because they just about held on to a 1-0 win. But Tottenham were very lucky because they were bang average in the second half.
If I was to ask the boys, there's a team today won, but they got outpossessed, outpassed, you name it, out this, out that. And then the only bit that didn't actually happen was outscored. Every one of them would say, oh, Spurs must have won 1-0. I mean, this is just Spurs all over.
All right, so with that in mind, who's more likely to make the top four, Spurs or Liverpool?
You'd have to say Tottenham because they're picking up points. I mean, that's really the difference. It's one thing for us to sit there, and certainly me, to go, listen, outpassed, outshot, you name it. But they'd get the picking up points. And to do that, and to get anywhere near the top four, you've got to pick up points. And Liverpool, you can't say or where they're going to pick points up.
No, we'll be marked.
Kay, I was looking at the numbers. I was looking at their numbers before the game, Tottenham's, and it was 3 wins and 8 or 4 wins and 14. So that's how bad they've been of late.
Well, that does seem to be the case, but we do have more questions for all of you lads, and I'm sure these will be among them. Liverpool, Spurs, today's results in Extra Time, which, as always, you can catch on YouTube.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Inter's 2-1 win over Parma means they are 6 points clear at the top of the Serie A table, taking full advantage of the fact that Milan and Juventus could not take maximum points from their last two games. And things are looking good for Antonio Conte's men. It must be said, though, Juventus do have a game in hand. But with only the league to concentrate on, Don Hutchison joining us again, surely Antonio Conte's men cannot let this slip now.
No, they're absolutely flying, Kay. They're playing some cracking football as well. Lukaku and Lautaro Martinez seem to be the best pair across Europe. Great defenders like Milan Skriniar, real battle-hardened, experienced pros. I've fancied them for quite a while this season, the way the season's been unfolding. But this is Inter. They've always got that strange loss in them where someone down at the bottom of the league could maybe take a couple of points off them and they can have a sneaky loss or a draw in them. And the next game is against Atalanta, which is a huge game for them. You feel as though if they beat Atalanta, one of the form sides in Serie A, and Gasperini's men play some brilliant football, they should get the job done, but it's not done just yet.
OK, that's interesting then. Lukaku involved in both of the goals here. They were both for Alexis Sanchez on the day, but he was involved in both of them. And we know what his record is this season. He's absolutely flying with Inter and he's not showing any signs of stopping. Why does he continue to divide opinion, particularly when it comes to that world-class status, Don?
I know. I find it bizarre that people try and have lazy comments on Lukaku, thinking he's not a team player. His link-up play and his first touch is not all that. Every time I watch Lukaku, I think he's turned into a world-class centre-forward. I think his link-up play is excellent. You know, the goals I've seen him score, the assists I've seen him score, the game against Milan the other week, he was unplayable. You watch him, his physique's always been there. He's improving, I think, under Conte immensely. He's now been an all-round centre-forward where his assist tally's getting quite high. He's got awareness of players in and around him. He feels loved. At Inter, he's got a good coach for him. He's got, as I said, a fantastic partner with Lautaro Martinez. The two of them are red hot at the moment, and the way Lukaku's playing at the moment and his numbers speak for itself, whether it's club or country, he has to be up there in the conversations as one of the best number nines out there.
So Don, if you're saying he is one of the best, who's ahead of him right now?
Oh, I think there's probably only one that might be ahead of him, and that's Lewandowski at Bayern Munich. I think there's other centre-forwards that come into that conversation. Harry Kane at Tottenham, I think the youngsters behind them, like Haaland and like Kylian Mbappe, they're going to be the future. But I think Lukaku comes into the conversation when we're talking about the very best. His numbers for club and country are absolutely outstanding. The amount of goals he's getting for Belgium is incredible. So when you are thinking of the best number nines out there, I think he comes into that conversation, Lukaku. I just think his all-round game, he's absolutely flying at the moment.
And it should come as no surprise that Lukaku came into the conversation on the Serie Awesome podcast, which drops today and usually drops every Wednesday. It's myself, Matteo Bonetti, Mina Rizzucchi and Nikki Bandini. Make sure you check that out. And here is the upcoming Serie A schedule, a whole slate of games from Italy coming up for you this weekend, all of them available on ESPN Plus, although you can catch Fiorentina against Parma on ESPN 2. But Monday's the big one, it's Inter against Atalanta, and that could be quite the match. The Copa del Rey final is set and it will be Barcelona taking on Athletic Club de Bilbao on April 17th. What a game that will be. The two most successful sides in the tournament's history facing off in this Spanish showdown. What a 5 days it was for Barcelona in those two meetings with Sevilla. The win in La Liga and then the win in the Copa that puts them into the final. You can see the reaction from the papers up in Barcelona. Sid Lowe joining us now to talk more about it. Sid, just how big of a result was this for Barcelona, this cup win?
I think it's really significant in its own sense. I think it's significant because, as Koeman had been saying about a month ago now, the cup is the shortest route towards some success this season, a season that everybody has been talking about as a transitional year. But I think it's become bigger than that. And it's become bigger than that because of the way in which they've won. They needed two very late goals to get through against Granada, then went into extra time. The fact that they got this goal with the last touch of normal time before going into extra time and Braithwaite scoring. The emotional element of that, the way in which that, I think, helps them to build as a team and build a kind of a collective identity, I think is really important. And then you can take it as well from what Gerard Piqué himself had said against Sevilla in the league. He'd said, if we turn this round in the second leg, this changes our entire season. not just in the Copa del Rey, but I think in La Liga as well. And I think Barcelona will feel, depending, of course, on what happens in the derby, in the Madrid derby at the weekend, I think Barcelona will feel that they can now maybe compete for the league title as well, in a season in which there had been some acceptance that maybe they wouldn't compete for anything.
Yeah, now suddenly they could be in for more than one trophy. And I'll tell you what else. Lionel Messi looks a lot happier. Might this have changed his thoughts on his future?
Well, look, to be honest, we don't know. And this has been, of course, the question that's hung over the entire season. What does Messi do next? How does this impact upon Barcelona in terms of their planning for the future? Obviously, it's been a big part of the presidential campaign as well. And those elections are on Sunday. All three candidates saying and repeatedly saying, we want Messi to stay. Does this change the way that he feels about things? It should do, up to a point. And I think it should do as well, the fact that he's seen some young players come through and play really well this season. We've seen good performances from Frenkie de Jong, but in particular, of course, early in the season, we saw Ansu Fati, and now we're seeing Pedri. And maybe that helps Messi to believe that there's something to play for. That said, I think it's a fundamental fact with Lionel Messi, and that is that he's very aware now that there's maybe only, what, 1, 2, perhaps 3 years left of his career. And I think in the end of it, the decision will come down to his belief or otherwise as to whether or not he feels that he can win another Champions League. I think that's the thing that really drives him now, winning another Champions League before he retires.
Because there's some great youth coming through, and I suppose under the right guidance, the future could look a lot brighter for Barca, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, we've talked about Barcelona as being in crisis, and they absolutely are, and this isn't us backing away from that. There's an institutional crisis. I think there's even an ethical or moral crisis at the club. There's been a footballing crisis as well, of course. I mean, look, we're talking about a team that conceded 8 goals to Bayern Munich at the end of last year's Champions League, a team that's just been beaten very, very heavily by Paris Saint-Germain. But when you look at that crisis, you also have to look at what you have to build with. And if you look at the quality of players like De Jong, like Ter Stegen, like Ansu Fati, even Dembélé, who started to play very well now. There is the basis of a very, very good side there. The question, of course, now is whether they can build the players around it and what Messi feels about that. And Barcelona are in a difficult position because, of course, the team depends on him. But the club depends on him as well now because they need to find out what he wants to do before they make a firm decision about how they move on from here.
Is Griezmann in a difficult position right now, Sid? He's not started the last 3 games. Would he actually get into Barca's Gala 11, their best 11?
Well, right now he wouldn't because, as you say, he's not played the last 3 games. And actually, at least 2 of those last 3 games, Sevilla away in La Liga and Sevilla at home in the Cup, those were games in which Ronald Koeman played what he believes is his very strongest side. And so Griezmann wasn't out of that because of rotations. He wasn't out of that because his manager was trying to make a point. He was out of that team on both of those occasions because his manager felt this was the best way to win games that were genuinely difficult against a genuinely tough opponent. So right now, no, Griezmann isn't in that team. That said, and I think it's worth pointing this out, Griezmann came on in the second half at that point at which Barcelona were looking for that final goal. And of course, Griezmann provided the cross for Gerard Piqué. So he's not out of it in terms of he just doesn't have a future. But right now, if there was a Champions League final tomorrow and Barcelona were playing in it, to be honest, I think Antoine Griezmann wouldn't start.
Is that not a worry for him?
Of course it is. Absolutely it is. And you know, this is a worry that's been ongoing. And I think one of the difficult things for Griezmann he never quite consolidates. He never quite has continuity. So bear in mind that we had that period in January. He didn't play away at Huesca, and there was that footage of him before the game watching his teammates warm up, and he was standing by an exit sign. And this seemed like the perfect metaphor for Griezmann's situation at Barcelona, that he had to find a way out of there and it wasn't going to work. And then he went on a run in which he played really, really well. For 5 or 6 weeks, he was scoring goals, he was providing assists. It felt like Barcelona had found a structure that worked, a 4-3-3 in which he played on the left-hand side of a front three, and here at last was his role. And then Koeman changes the formation again, and he changes the formation to play with wing-backs, to have only 2 men up front, that's Dembélé and Messi, and Griezmann finds himself out of it again. And there were periods even last year, in that season in which we questioned where he would fit, in which actually there were moments when he played. There were moments when it felt like, okay, maybe we're finding a solution here. And it's that lack of consolidation and continuity for Griezmann that would worry him. I suppose from his point of view, the good news is that he's young enough, and I think he's got a good enough reputation that if Barcelona were to decide, OK, Griezmann doesn't have a long-term future with us, he would find a club to go to.
Good news for La Liga fans is that you could definitely say I-Liga. The league definitely is still on right now, with all three teams having to play each other still. And the first of those clashes between the top three will come on the weekend. It's the Derby Madrileño between Atleti and Real Madrid. Let's start with Real Madrid and their injury situation right now. Sid, what's the latest?
Well, the big question is whether Karim Benzema makes it for the weekend. To be honest with you, I think he will. I think he will play, but I don't think he will be fully fit. So the question then is, how much of a risk are Real Madrid prepared to take? And what kind of condition is he in? In other words, if they play him, can he last 90 minutes? Can he last 90 minutes at full intensity? How much of a contribution can he make? But if you look at how difficult Real Madrid are finding it to score goals at the moment, their second top scorer is Casemiro. Just as last season, their second top scorer was Sergio Ramos. The other forwards beyond Benzema are simply not contributing in terms of goals. So it's really, really important that they get him fit. And he's the big question mark for the weekend. They should now have Fede Valverde back, who of course played in midweek, and that's really important because it gives them the chance to maybe freshen up that midfield. But it really does depend very, very heavily on whether Benzema is fit.
And funnily enough, Casemiro was actually one of the goal scorers when Real Madrid did last face Atleti in this game. In the reverse fixture this season, I suppose the head-to-head could come into play here, and Real Madrid have it on both teams so far. But as for Atleti, if they win this game, is that it? Is the league over?
I think we've seen enough crazy things in Spain over the years to never say the league is over, but it would be a huge, huge step. Bear in mind, of course, that Atletico Madrid are currently 5 points clear of Real Madrid. That would put them 8 points clear. They would have a game in hand, which is against Athletic Club Bilbao next week on Wednesday night. So there's a possibility that they go 11 points clear. Now, one of the problems, I think, when we've analysed Atletico Madrid all season is we've tended to add up those points from those games in hand as if they had already done. And then, of course, we saw against Levante when they drew and lost in those two games in just 4 days that you can't necessarily assume those points. I think if they were to win the derby, they would take a big, big step away from Real Madrid. Then I suppose the question mark is whether Barcelona can hang on to their coattails and keep close enough to them that the game between those two teams becomes huge as well. But I think the way this season has been, even with Atletico Madrid being reasonably reliable, I don't think it would be wise to suggest the league title is over, even in the event of them winning this weekend.
Yeah, and I think Barcelona will definitely be hoping for a draw in this one. Sid, it's always great to hear from you. If you would like to hear more from Sid, you'll be able to do so on the latest Gab and Jules podcast. It dropped today. Sid is the special guest this week, so you absolutely have to listen now. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com. You can catch a lot more glorious FC content over on the ESPN FC YouTube page. Every day it's updated. Make sure you check it out because it's there that you will find Shaka's power rankings as well. And I have been waiting for this segment. I have never had the pleasure of being involved in a show.
You're the one that's been waiting.
You lucky, lucky girl, Kay.
Yes, Shaka, talk us through them.
Well, I'm not sure where to start, Kay. I'll start at number 10 in the best ever power. There can be no hour. Anyway, let me just get to it. Dinamo Zagreb.
Yeah.
Running away with things in Croatia. They have a big test coming up against Spurs in the Europa League, but they're in a 10, so we see how they fare. Ajax and Sporting both drew, but respective draws against PSV and Porto in midweek before bouncing back. So they stay in the top 10, top of their respective leagues. Leipzig, they're in. There's more German representation, and we get to that in a minute. Slavia Prague. After what they did with Leicester, they're still in, they're still winning. Glasgow Rangers, to satisfy the Scotsman amongst us, Chelsea in at four after their impressive run and most impressive result against Liverpool. Inter Milan, who cannot stop winning, in at three. Bayern Munich back to winning ways after putting five past Cologne. And they can only be number one, the simply unstoppable, insatiable Manchester City. There can be no arguments this week.
I think there is.
Though there were attempts last week.
I think that Don is a little bit upset to see Bayern so high in your power rankings this week, aren't you, Don?
I know. It's ridiculous. I mean, Bayern win one game in about three or four, and all of a sudden, they're in the top two. Rangers have not lost a game all season and could win the league in their next game and are 1 million points clear, and they still can't get any higher than fifth. They should be number one, Shaq. Come on. Why are there no French teams? Why do you hate the French
knocked,
so much?
Didn't they get knocked out to the cup a few weeks ago? I have to factor in the league. Shaq. Yes, they're doing great in Europa League. But, you know, I've got to figure these things out.
Shaq, you keep saying Rangers lost in the cup a couple of weeks ago. That was 5 months ago.
Shaq, when did you do this?
They drew with Hamilton a couple of weeks ago.
Shaq.
That's what it is.
Shaq. When did you actually do this?
I got it back from Google earlier today.
Right, exactly. So Chelsea hadn't even played Liverpool, and I had mine. I had the top 10 you sent me, but yet you still got them ahead of Rangers. After they had a rotten, boring draw with Man United at the weekend, Rangers threw in the Europa League, undefeated, as Don says, flying high, beating Livingston. But they're still behind Chelsea and three others. How's that possible?
Chelsea just beat Liverpool.
You did this before the game.
Liverpool.
It feels like the higher your ranks go, Shaka, the more you're trying to justify your rankings. Before we went to air, Stevie said...
I don't know.
Before we went to air, Stevie said that Frank's the only Frenchman who's seen smile. Even Frank's not smiling now. Even Frank's unhappy with this, aren't you, Frank?
I am. I congratulated Shaka for his power ranking last week, but I have to say, I'm so disappointed, Mr. Shaka Islop. You know, no French team in the first 10. Lille, still first, in front, before the almighty Paris Saint-Germain, 2 points ahead, and I don't see Lille.
Lille, why you don't want to Lille, Lille? What's Lille wrong have with won you? One in their last three. Lille have won one in their last three. PSG lost last week to Monaco.
They're first in the League One in front of a club who smashed Barcelona. And you don't want to put them on top of anybody else. So
PSG lost this week to Monaco.
Don't talk too much to my head because I'm going to headbutt you like that.
Don't forget, ESPN FC is available daily on ESPN Plus.
Shaka Hislop will be in the studio tomorrow.
And no doubt he'll be catching some more abuse here about his power rankings. Massive game coming up in the Bundesliga this weekend. It's the Klassiker between Bayern and Borussia Dortmund. You can catch it Saturday at noon on ESPN Plus and on ABC. What a game that will be. And remember this. This was last season. This was the goal that settled the meeting between the two. A lovely lob from Joshua Kimmich. Well, our Tom Hamilton caught up with the man himself to talk about this very goal. Here it is.
Yeah, in this position, I thought the chance is not that high to score, so I have to try something special, and maybe it's a surprise for the goalkeeper. And yeah, I also was a bit lucky.
Oh, come on, you're being modest. When did you see that Berkey was off his line? Was that something you'd seen a few sort of passages of the play before, or was it just in that instance where you saw him and then said, right, we can try and go over the top?
I didn't see him that he passed his line, but I know that he is a goalkeeper who is always a bit in front of his goal, and normally in this situation the goalkeeper is two or three steps in front of his goal, so I just try it, and I hope that I can score out of this position.
this might sound like a weird question, but were you surprised when it went in? Did you think, oh, this has actually happened?
Yeah. Yeah, really. I also were really surprised there.
Now, Berkey won't want to see that one back, will he?
No, anyway, I don't think so.
Here is the upcoming Bundesliga schedule. Obviously, that's the big one. Bayern Munich against Borussia Dortmund. But Leipzig, worth looking out for, because they could go top if that result favours them. So things are tight at the top of the table in Germany. Make sure you don't miss the weekend's action here on ESPN Plus and, of course, as mentioned, on ABC.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thank you so much for being with us for the latest edition of ESPN FC. From myself and Stevie Nicol and the rest of the team, thanks for joining us. But stick around if you want more. We have a very spicy extra time coming up with Stevie, Don and Shaka. That's on the way for you next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Oh, we've got some questions for our pundits. I'm coming to you first, Stevie Nicol.
You've got
this one to answer. It's from Armando. It says, Tuchel wasn't getting credit for the unbeaten streak because Chelsea played poor teams. It was said Tuchel's real test would start with Atleti and continue with United, Liverpool and Everton. Tuchel should get credit now, right? Impressive yet, or do you have more excuses?
Why tell that? But
I'm just, you know, putting into...
Listen, at the end of the day, this is the game's about results, you know. Unfortunately, where we sit, we don't just talk about results. We talk about how they get the results and whether they deserve those results. Now, you can't argue from a defensive point of view that Chelsea deserve the results they're getting. But really, are we going to go overboard? A team that averages just over one goal a game... We're really going to go overboard? Come on.
You'd take one goal a game for Liverpool, right?
Right now? I take one goal every other game.
Hold on a minute. The game is about results, but even though Chelsea get results, we're not going to go overboard. Is that it?
Hey, that sounds like your power ranking, Shaq.
No, listen, at the end of the day, it's about results.
At least I showed you in my power rankings.
Well, at the end of the day, it's about results. So we shouldn't talk about Spurs the way they play. So we're not allowed to talk about the way teams play. It's all about results. So if anybody wins, regardless of how they play, fantastic, brilliant. Absolutely wonderful.
Please.
Well done. There we go.
You are a hard man.
If that's
to
all
please.
We're going to do then, if it's just about results, then...
All right, Don, who would you have in your team right now? You can only choose one. Mount, Madison or Grealish?
Oh, Madison's
injured. No question.
Madison's injured.
Not even a debate. Jack Grealish. Superstar. He's the closest thing, and I'm not comparing before everyone starts sending a million tweets, but he looks like a mini Paul Gascoigne to me.
I'm not going to compare
him. Amazing.
But...
but we knew that name was coming, didn't we?
Because people will say, well, he's not as good as Gazza. Well, he's not as good as Gazza. I'm saying there's bits in his game where he reminds me of Paul Gascoigne. I think the kid's a genius.
All right.
Well, at least you never compared him to Henry. So
no, I know, because comparison
exactly.
is the thief.
Yeah, that's right. Malcolm, I'm not comparing him, but he looks just like Gaza.
Malcolm, image.
Ask Stevie if he thinks Thiago is a good signing.
See, you can see, this is the thing, right? You can slice this up to suit it whichever way you want it to. You know, somebody that wasn't a fan of Thiago could cut this into, well, you know what, ever since he arrived, the results have been this and the performances have been that. And you can say that. The truth is, Thiago's a fantastic player. But Thiago's a different type of player than the ones that Liverpool had in the middle of his, in the middle of the midfield. And so, is he in the wrong place? He's certainly right now in the wrong place, in the wrong team, because what's going on around him doesn't help his game. He's a guy that should be the supplier to good runs, and all the hard work and all the other things is going to be more on the people beside him just because of A, the way he plays, and because of his age. So it's just not quite straightforward to say, is he a good signing?
I know, you know, do you remember earlier when Stevie said that Jurgen Klopp was taking too long with his answers and less is more because he was trying to explain himself? That's what that sounded a bit like to me.
Keep it simple, Stevie. Listen,
you can't argue that since he's gone to Liverpool, the thing's gone down the pan. Is that what you want me to say?
Are you blaming it all on Thiago?
I never said that. I just... You can slice things a lot of different ways.
You
the team
can.
He's in right now, the way it's playing doesn't suit his game.
Shaka, critical viewpoint, would like to know, should players cut their hair short and not apply gel for them to be onside in case the line is drawn against their hairstyle? Also, to start wearing sleeveless shirts.
Hey, they should wear green boots, though, okay? If I was a manager, all my players would wear green boots so their boots blend into the grass.
Don, is that a magic pen
that
we all had at
yes.
primary school?
How many colours?
Yes.
How many colours have you got on it?
Yes. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Is that, are they actually still available, Don? Is that yours or
yes.
is it one of your kids?
No, I get packs of them for work.
For work? What work? What are you talking about, work?
Well, when I'm commentating on games, I like to put
work.
Some in red, some in blue, some in black.
Getting paid to go watch a game
of football.
And then
you colour your boots in green.
Don't want that.
Shaka, yeah. What do you reckon? Hair gel, sleeveless tops?
I think you should ask Don that key. He was partial to a bit of hair gel back in his day.
Don
mightn't look it right now, but
Don thinks the game's played on a green screen.
Yeah, well,
so if you wear green boots, you won't be able to see them.
Hey, it would confuse the VAR, wouldn't it?
Well, they
green
don't take
boots.
A lot of confusing, do they? Let's be
well,
honest.
Well, there you go.
Some of the things they come out with.
I'll tee you up, you knock it out of the park.
Stevie, it's all for you today. Remy would like to know, if Man City wins the Champions League this year, is there any need for them to add Messi in the summer, or can they start planning for a new project using the money that they would have spent on Messi?
There's a thing in football that has always been said. The best time to strengthen is when you've just won. So the answer is absolutely. You sign Messi. If you can make yourself better, regardless of what you've just done, you do it.
Well, what about using the money that you could have spent on Messi and getting lots of great players? Maybe not the best player, but great players.
The theory is fantastic. But when you get the chance to sign a player like Messi, you take it.
Guys, I'd like you to weigh in on this one. Shaka, what do you reckon? Spend the money on a number of players or go for Messi?
But on the one hand, even if Man City wins every game between now and the end of the season, wins the Champions League, Don will still be saying that Rangers should be number one in the power rankings.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm not sure if you go still go and spend money on Messi and have Rangers top of the power rankings, that'll make any kind of sense.
Don, red light or green light or red pen or green pen on Lionel Messi?
That would be a red on Messi. That would be a no. What's the point? He's only got, 18 months, 2 years of brilliant Messi in him. Why wouldn't you go and spend the money on killing Mbappe? He'd be a better signing. Or Haaland, one of the emerging kids that are going to spend, 5, 10 years at your club. Sounds good having Messi, but I don't know. I'd rather have Mbappe.
I'm going to do my Gab Marcotti impersonation here.
Go on then.
Well, the money that they would use on Messi would come back in jerseys and sponsorship. So all this money you're talking about spending on Mbappe or anybody else is actually free money. Because he's going to cover
free
whatever
money.
He gets. He's going to cover whatever he gets in sponsorship and jersey sales. So you're not wasting
no
any
such,
money.
No such
you're not wasting
money,
any money
Stevie.
At all.
Free money? Can I have some free money?
I disagree.
For once,
I'm going to agree with Don Hutchinson here.
So hold on a second.
I don't think there's any
so
such
if you've
thing.
Got, let me just clarify this, right? You two are saying, use the money you're going to use on Messi,
yeah.
Right? Well, now you're saying that as if that's just you're just throwing money away. When the truth is, Messi's not actually costing you anything. He's actually costing you nothing.
Because
the money you give him, you're bringing back in and sponsorship and jersey sales. So he's not costing
you
anything.
Don't tell him Barcelona.
He's going to cost you 600 grand a week.
Don's back.
He's costing you 600 grand a week.
Hold on a second. If you bring in 20 million and you give 20 million out, how much have you spent?
Well, don't start asking him about
money. You've not spent anything.
What percentages are like?
You give 20 out and bring 20 in. What does the balance sheet say? Square.
Shaka,
you spent nothing.
But you're agreeing with Don.
I am. There's no such thing as free money. And if the numbers were that easy, free Barcelona money. Wouldn't be in the financial difficulty that they are right now. But to Don's point,
hold
if
on
you
a second.
Do win the Champions
no,
League,
no, I'm not having that. Wait a minute. So you think you think signing a Messi or going and spending 300 million in Dembele and Coutinho is the same thing? It's not the same thing at all.
All I'm saying is, if it was that simple that Messi, everything he earns is somehow magically covered, Barcelona wouldn't be in the kind of trouble that they are in right now.
Oh, so it's Messi's fault?
Financially. That's all I'm saying.
You're saying it's Messi's fault?
I did not say that.
Well, you absolutely did.
Free money.
You said
that's
because of the money they paid Barcelona, that's what that they paid
right.
Messi, that they're
okay,
in financial difficulties.
That's, what you heard,
that's exactly
Stevie,
what you said.
I can't argue with that. If that's what you heard, I can't argue with that. I can't.
But surely, Stevie, you'd rather have 5 or 6 years of killing Mbappe than 18 months of Messi.
Well, there's just a little problem here. You won't get Mbappe at the end of the season.
So
you won't get Mbappe at the end of the season, but guess what? You'll get Messi.
Why won't you get Mbappe?
Because there's no way. You think Paris Saint-Germain are going to sell him?
Well, at some point they will.
But that's not what we're talking about.
As opposed to arguing over who it is.
Hold on a second. Let's get this right. If you said to me that Manchester City have got a chance of buying or getting Mbappe or Messi tomorrow, who would you take? Of course I would say Mbappe, right? For the very reasons you're talking about. But the fact is, they're not getting Mbappe. Mbappe's not going to be available. But guess who is? Mr. Lionel Messi. So there you go.
We're going to go around in circles.
See that pipe? Fill that pipe up.
Shaka, it's back to your power rankings here. Shaka, will you this week please not reveal your top 10 power rankings to us and instead create a top 20 power ranking? I want to see where my Liverpool is standing. If your rankings were to be extended to 20, would they even make it, Shaka?
Nah, I don't think Liverpool gets in the top 20.
No.
Not right now.
No.
Don, what do you think of the name of this account? Steve's Kid Crayole and the Coconuts.
It's not bad, is it? It's not bad.
Have you heard of the band?
Yes.
I thought it might be your burner account.
Wow. No, it's not me. I was trying to think of the song. I sang it to Stevie last week. I did. I sang it to Stevie on here the other week.
Stool
Pigeon. I can't remember what the song was.
Stool Pigeon.
Cha, 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 cha. Cha, 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 cha.
All right. right, last up. Brian Mass asks, have any of the boys, and I'm going to start with you, Shaka, have any of the boys had incentives written into their contracts, such as score more than 20 goals equals 20,000 or keep 6 clean sheets equals 60,000? Bonuses, basically, Shaka. Did you get that written into your contract?
Did you get free money?
I did. yeah. I did. Not the levels that you're suggesting there, Kay. Maybe I should have had you as my agent, 16, 60 grand.
Oh, Brian.
But it was certainly a way. Listen, back in the day, players weren't making the kind of money that they are now. And that's just one way you were able to kind of, you know, balance the books, make pump up his salary a little bit, accept less in a basic, but you get bonuses, be it goal bonuses for strikers or clean sheet bonuses for goalkeepers. I had that a couple of times, yeah.
Don, did you?
Back in the day, Kate, it used to be a sort of unwritten rule where, I don't know if the lads agree, it might have been in their contracts, but when you got a win or points, it was £250 a point. So depending on what, if you drew, you got 250 quid. If you won, you got 750 quid. When I then moved to Sunderland many years later, it got bumped up to £5,000 a win. Oh, you should have seen how many people were on the trip. You should have seen how many people were on the treatment table that season. Zero.
So it works. What about in your day, Stevie? Were the incentives like this?
No, not really.
No?
Not really, no.
Nothing? No win bonuses, nothing?
No, because they felt as though they were paying you good basics, that your bonuses and things weren't particularly high. So
no free money.
Listen, Don's... hold on, here you go. Here's a great example, right? Don's just told you that to play in Sunderland, what year would that be, Don?
2000.
2000. To win just a league game, they were on £5,000 bonus, right? That was our bonus for winning the Champions League in 1984, £5,000.
Oof.
And who won more? Well, I think we all know the answer to that one. Anyway, thanks
so much.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us on the latest edition of Extra Time. Don't forget, you can catch ESPN FC. It's available daily on ESPN Plus.